And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. As the waters subsided from the great flood of the ancient world, and the ark which God commanded Noah to build came to rest upon Mount Ararat, floods turned to rivers, rivers turned to streams, streams to dry ground. Before God makes a covenant never to flood the world again and sealed his promise with the sign of the rainbow, Noah gathers together stones to make an altar, kindling, twigs, branches for fuel. Flint was struck and fire made, whereupon burnt offering was given to God. It was, as you could imagine, a great thanksgiving for his mercy, allowing Noah, a single righteous man, to survive along with his family the worst destruction the world had ever known. And the scriptures tell us that the smoke rose from the offering and that it was a sweet smell to the Lord and a pleasing thing. The thanksgiving of a righteous man for the provisions of a righteous God engenders mercy and love and a pleasing thing. Over 1,000 years later, the Apostle Paul, sitting in a lonely jail cell, is visited by someone named Epaphroditus from the church at Philippi, and he brought gifts. Paul's spiritual children had not forgotten about him, and as any parent who's received something from their child can relate to, he was overjoyed. Philippians have given thanks to Paul for having brought them the gospel of Jesus Christ, which they received their salvation through, and they were thankful. And Paul responds, "You Philippians," essentially saying, "you know that of all the churches that I've planted, no one was concerned enough for my journeys to care for my needs except for you. And it's not so much that I need these things that I rejoice, but I rejoice in the spiritual fruit that's so clearly abounding in you. I have received all that you've sent with Epaphroditus, and those things were of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God," are the words he uses. "And know this, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Here we are in the heart of the season of Lent. We hear St. Paul's exhortation to the Ephesians today. "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." There it is again. This is the language of Noah. It's the language also of Moses in the book of Leviticus, we'll hear in a moment. It's used to encourage the Philippians who offered something pleasing, and it's embedded in the command of St. Paul to the Ephesians as they're told to follow the example of Jesus and walk in love. Sacrifice and an offering to God, a sweet-smelling savor. It's a seemingly strange thing, but when spotless animals were sacrificed on the temple altar, don't be confused. It was not to appease a giant, hungry, invisible man, an anthropomorphic god with a long flowing beard who loved the smell of the grill. It was something more, of course. King David knew it. After having sunken into the deep sins of murder and adultery, David beat his chest in Psalm 51. And knew that it was not the flesh of bulls and of goats that would please God. "The sacrifices of God," he says, "are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These God will not despise." It's as if these would be a sweet-smelling savor, and David would make that sacrifice in humility and love and repentance in that psalm. The prophet Isaiah knew it. In the first few days of Lent, we heard him assert that a fast was not simply for the sake of sackcloth and ashes, for an outward sign. It was not simply so that a man would bow down his body like a bulrush. Rather, an acceptable fast to the Lord was one that loosened the bands of sin and removed the heavy burdens and let the oppressed go free. A fast that delivered bread to the hungry and sought the benefit of the poor or the needy. The acceptable fast is one in which the inward heart of the people is expressed through the outward action. As we express in the absolution of our prayer book offices, that he would grant us true repentance and his Holy Spirit, that those things may please him which we do at this present, morning and evening prayer. It's not an outward action done to cover up an inward heart of resistance. And what have we heard today in the epistle? Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savior. Savior, I keep saying savior. And it's not so bad, maybe. He is a sweet-smelling savior, too. And it's a good thing that his sacrifice is so good. To a wandering and sinful Israel, God speaks through the book of Leviticus. If after all this you will not walk in my way, therefore I will walk contrary to you, and I will not smell the sweet savor of your offerings. The law is fulfilled in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He has walked in love. He has offered himself for us to the Father as a sacrifice, not the sacrifices of a people who have set themselves contrary to God. The sacrifice of Christ was full, perfect, sufficient, pleasing, and a sweet-smelling savor. It was as Noah, the offering of a righteous man to a righteous God. And thanks be to God, Christ's sacrifice was not for himself only, but for you and for me, the perfect man, the perfect sacrifice. How then shall we live? How shall we walk? Not contrary to God, but in love, the same kind of love with which Christ has loved us. We've heard what it looks like thanksgiving, like a broken and contrite heart, like self-sacrifice. It looks like concern for others and heartfelt repentance from sin. But Paul, as the epistle goes on, shows us what it does not look like. He says these words that we've heard today already, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger nor unclean person nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. It's as if you're going to have to partake of something. And you may partake with them who walk contrary to God, or you may be partakers of Christ, whose sacrifice is perfect and sweet-smelling. What is this vain word that Paul is speaking about? What would convince someone that because of those things, no wrath of God would come? If you've lived for 10 minutes in our culture, you know the voice. There's no need to concern yourself with sin and that whole outdated idea of unrighteousness. You're predisposed to sin. It's in your nature. You can partake of all the pleasures of the world and of Christ at the same time. People have been doing it for thousands of years. The offering that you bring to God is always a sweet-smelling savor as long as you have just a little bit of willingness. Never does it stink to high heaven. Never. Paul says something different. Paul says there is darkness and there is light. The deeds of darkness are those that you and I would be embarrassed right now if everyone in this room knew about us. That's why it's called darkness. Because the sin that we struggle against grows most readily when no one sees it. is the savor that rises to heaven from the offering of your life to God, a sweet-smelling savor? If it is repentance and thanksgiving and concern for others, then yes, it can be joined with Christ. It is a good offering. Is it obstinate, thankless, selfish, and impossible? Perhaps not. Perhaps there's something left in this Lenten season for us to repent of. St. Paul says, walk not in darkness, walk in the light as children of the light. Reprove the acts of darkness, bring them out into the open, expose them, have done with them, confess them one to another. Awake, thou that sleepest, and Christ shall give thee light. And here we struggle through Lent. If we're spiritually attuned, we're forced to recognize that the paltry things which we give up as sort of outward signs, dessert, alcohol, whatever it is in itself hardly the shadow of a real sacrifice, but it could be the sign of an inward sacrifice. Nevertheless, we must join our sacrifice to Christ's perfect sacrifice. As we follow Christ into the desert, we struggle against principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness, but we struggle with him. For his is the victory, and we must dwell in him and allow him to dwell in us. He has won. His sacrifice is perfect. We must walk with him, St. Paul says. Because the waters of life will subside one day. The ark will come to rest. This ark of the church will come to rest on a new heaven and a new earth. And our lives that have been offered to him, our souls and bodies that have been given as a reasonable, holy, and living sacrifice, as we have endeavored to walk in love as Christ loved us, our lives will rise with his to God as a sweet-smelling savor. And as much as our faith is in him, and as much as we are partakers in him and not partakers of the darkness of the world, our sacrifice will be in perfect union with his and will be acceptable and pleasing to him on that day. May the remainder of this Lenten journey be for you a time of union with Christ and walking with him, so that we share not only in his sufferings, which are a sacrifice to God, a sweet-smelling savor, but in his ultimate and eternal and joyous victory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.